I want to be very clear about my top three immediate priorities for the conference. First, we will protect and support our student athletes. Second, we will make decisions to optimize revenue for our member institutions, including renegotiating our media distribution deals. And third, we will do everything we can at the conference level to make our teams more competitive in revenue-generating sports, especially football. Again, want to be clear, we know where the bread is buttered. We're focused on the revenue sports and winning in men's basketball and football.
Excited to bring on our next guest, John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. He's also the owner and operator of the Wilner Hotline. Does a fantastic job, Pac-12 insider, and is always kind enough to come on with Scotty and I and give us some insight. John, I'll start out by telling you, Scotty told me to tell you hi for him and that he's sad that he's not here to sit in with this interview. I know he loves being here with you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
No question about it. And we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to jump on with us. First impressions when you saw the announcement that George Kliavkov would be taking the Pac-12 commissioner seat?
Well, you know, I thought there was a high potential for them to do something a little outside the box and hire someone outside of college sports, outside of pro sports, outside of sports media, you know, in the TV industry. And they did that. It's interesting, you know, there was a lot of push in the conference for the opposite of Larry Scott in terms of hiring somebody who is kind of from college athletics and has worked on a campus and knows college football, and the Presidents didn't do that. You know, it doesn't mean it was the wrong hire, but it's certainly different from what a lot of people wanted internally.
And, you know, I was thinking of the same thing, and I was following some of your tweets as the decisions were coming down, and I could tell you were starting to get some insight and some news about who was coming down the pipeline. And as you started to kind of get the news, what were some of the first comments that you'd heard in regards to George and his background and his ability?
Comments that I heard, well, I mean, I got a couple of people told me that they thought he was going to be the commissioner, and, you know, I hadn't heard his name and had to do some tracking down. But, you know, I don't know necessarily what you mean by comments before the announcement. I mean, fans, since after they announced it at 10:30 or 11 o'clock, you know, certainly there's some fans who are a little bit perplexed. But I think a lot of people in the conference are just kind of hopeful that, you know, he's going to do better than his predecessor. And this can start a little bit of a recovery for the conference. And, you know, there's certainly been a lot of problems in the last few years. And this is like a new chapter.
Mm-hmm. He spent a lot of time with the name, image, and likeness conversation, just kind of talking about different ways and angles he can use it to their advantage. Do you feel like that's something that he really can max out? And do you think that that's something that we need to focus on, John?
Well, it's a huge, huge deal in college athletics and especially college football. There's no question about that. Now, the extent to which the conference is going to be able to dictate policy and impact, you know, how this thing plays out, yeah, certainly they can support the schools, but the most likely scenario here is that there's going to be some kind of national protocol, you know, with the NCAA basically setting the bar for everyone. So I don't know, you know, within that space, you know, it'll be up to the campuses to try to see how well they can maximize it. The conference office can certainly help, but it's going to be a very much of a local issue, and we'll see if the Pac-12 campuses are able to, you know, use what they have to offer to attract recruits. There's a lot of uncertainty as to whether, you know, using having athletes get paid for promotional purposes is going to help the schools that are in the major markets, like the LA schools or Washington, or if it's going to help schools that are in, you know, much more college towns like Eugene and Salt Lake City to a certain extent, just because, you know, Utah is such a huge part of the sports scene in Salt Lake. So we'll see how it plays out.
Did we ever really hear Larry Scott emphasize football is king? Football is where our bread is buttered?
It's possible. I mean, he's done so many interviews over the years that I'm sure if a certain question, you know, basically prompted that answer, that he probably has. I couldn't recall anything like that from him. And what's interesting about that response is that, you know, he was asked about women's basketball. This was at the end of his, you know, Zoom interview with the media yesterday. And there was a question about women's basketball. And he answered the question as best he could. But then he said, you know, but we know where our bread is buttered, and it's about football and men's basketball. So the fact that it was at the end of an answer about a different topic made it seem a little bit more organic than if he was just kind of reading some talking points at the start of his interview.
And that really stood out to me as well, because you're right. It was I believe it was a women's college basketball question, and he finished it up with, "We know where our bread is buttered." I thought that that was very telling. John, do you believe that there's any chance that the Pac-12 network could be distributed on DirecTV come this football season?
I mean, short of saying never say never, I would say no. And I don't know that the conference is really looking for it this fall, right? I mean, DirecTV is in a much different place than it was 5 years ago, and a much different place with you know, AT&T and the space, the media space has changed so much. The streaming space has. I would be stunned if somehow there was an agreement in the next couple of months. And I don't get the sense that the conference is even thinking that way. Now, could there be a deal with DirecTV once they renegotiate their media rights in a few years? Yeah, there could be. But I would be very surprised if something gets done before September 1st.
You know, that was one of the things in the press conference that was kind of pressed the back end of the conversation was some of the media rights and negotiating and how long this is going to take. John, can you kind of give everybody an idea of the timeline of the negotiation, when it starts, when it should finish, and when we should see some numbers, some different forms of revenue?
Well, the current deal expires, you know, I think it's June 30th, 2024. It's the summer of 2024. Typically, negotiations for those kind of things start about 18 months ahead. So you figure late 2022, early 2023, the Pac-12 is going to get serious with its potential partners. And at some point in the spring of 2023, there'll probably be a deal. But that deal won't kick in until the football season for 2024. So, you know, it's the 2024-2025 fiscal year where you'll see on the budgets for the schools a real impact. But now there's a chance that the Pac-12 could say, you know what, we don't want to wait that long. We want to renegotiate right now and see what we can get, which you could argue that's what they should do. But the problem with that is that based on the way these contracts are written, if you renegotiate early, you can only do it with your current partners. Hmm. So the Pac-12 could only renegotiate with ESPN and Fox unless they wait until the contracts are expired. And then they can go to the open market, and they can go to ESPN and Fox, but they could also go to Amazon, and they go to NBC and CBS and whoever else they want and have far more. You know, in theory, there's a much greater demand if you've got more bidders. So it's a tough call for them. They need the money, so they could go right now and say, ESPN, help us. But then they can only ask ESPN and Fox.
As far as the new commissioner hiring a staff, can you give us some insight into how many hires does the new commissioner make, and how important, in your opinion, is it the guys that he surrounds himself with?
I don't have any idea how many he can make. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, he's got a rough budget, but they're going to let him do what he needs to do to fix it, to fix whatever he sees needs fixing. You know, to me, they got to hire some people who understand football, right? And they got to hire because they don't have anybody who. I mean, Merton Hanks does understand football, but he's already got a job. They don't have anybody in place who's thinking about football strategy, long-term strategy. I think they've got to take a hard look at the officiating program. And this guy's never worked on a college campus before. And so he needs to probably hire somebody who's going to serve as a liaison to the campuses, somebody who's going to be talking with the athletic directors all the time about football, especially about football matters. They have someone who handles men's basketball and is very good, but they don't really have a football person. And the athletic directors, I think, want to have football expertise at somewhere in the chain of command of the conference office. And certainly the new commissioner does not have that. And the old commissioner didn't have it either, and that's a big part of the problem, right? I mean, the ADs felt like they're talking to Larry Scott. He doesn't know football, and that caused problems.
We're talking with John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. John, you heard, right, it might have been in second, third comment he made talking about being a proponent of the college football playoff expansion. Out of the Power Five conferences, how many of those conference commissioners are actually pushing for that expansion? Is he in the norm, or is he one of the exceptions?
Well, the ACC's got a new commissioner, and he's kind of taking a wait and see. SEC is, I think, they're the one that's the vote that matters most. So they're willing to discuss. They're not clamoring for expansion. And the Big 12 and the Big 10, I believe they're interested in it, right? Everybody sees that the sport is being harmed by having the same three or four teams in the playoff every year. And so I am almost certain that there will be expansion to at least eight teams and maybe 12. Whether that happens in 2 years or in 5 years, though, is the big question. So we'll see. They're going to talk about it this summer. June 22nd, this subcommittee on playoff expansion is going to, make its recommendation to the College Football Playoff Management Committee. And I think that at that point, we will have a pretty good idea where this thing is going, and it will be at least eight teams and maybe more.
Hey, John, how much influence in regards to success does a commissioner have on a football, and I'm talking a football entity inside of their conference? How much influence does he have on the success of those teams, those programs?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's kind of it's a little bit unknowable. You can't just say X, right? I mean,
right.
There's only so much the conference office can do with football, right? Because the commissioner is not choosing which quarterback to recruit or choosing which play to call, how to configure his depth chart. They're not doing any of that. But they can. The conference office's job is to provide the resources and support to give each team the best chance to win. Now, some of that comes in the form of money. Some of that comes in the form of the schedule or the bowl arrangements, the officiating crews. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could do it, but it's all, if the Pac-12's football ceiling is, say 10 feet high, the conference office can't get all the way to 10 feet. They can get to 7 or 8 feet in terms of the support, but it's got to make the big thing is making sure the conference office is doing everything it can. That hasn't been the case in the past, right? So although it can't do everything, it's got to do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And, I was thinking about all the different angles and different ways that they can help, and I came across maybe five or six different things, but I was thinking about potentially coaching hires inside the Pac-12 and where you've got USC, one of the biggest entities out west, and you had a guy like Urban Meyer who was getting back into coaching. I had to stop and question, is there anything that a commissioner could have helped with in the form of that hire? Getting a name, a prominent name like Urban Meyer to come into the conference, because I do think coaching is a big thing. One area that could possibly change the way the conference flows. Could a conference commissioner, his notoriety, his persuasion, his the ability to help these universities gain more money. Could it help with some of those big-name hires that you need to see?
Well, I mean, the commissioner does have a role in how much money is getting sent to the schools based on the media arrangements. But the commissioner can't, and I can't imagine ever would be involved in the hiring process. I mean, that's just, the schools will, like, back off, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we have to have the right to hire who we want, whether it's a dean of business school or the head football coach. And the presidents are going to tell the commissioner to back off, right? I mean, that's their, those are their campuses. There's nothing really that the commissioner could do. Now, creating a more attractive football entity overall, like we talked about a few minutes ago, is certainly something the commissioner position helps with. And a more attractive football entity would attract better coaches, right? If there's more money and the brand is good, you know, then you got a chance to get better coaches. But there's nothing, for instance, Larry Scott could have done to get USC to hire Urban Meyer. Nothing at all. That can't be the case. You can't have a situation where the commissioner is participating or influencing hires on campus.
John, do you think the Pac-12, do you think within the next 3 years they can get back to a bit of prominence through some of the recovery efforts through this new commissioner and maybe identifying areas that they do need to get back into competitive football where they can be back in the college football playoff, potentially produce a champion, or do you think it's longer than 3 years?
Three years, you know, well, we'll know about the 2023 season, which isn't that far off,
mm-hmm.
there could be football playoff expansion
okay.
that year.
Wow.
That would be the earliest they could do it is the 2023 season. I think it's entirely possible. I mean, if Oregon goes and beats Ohio State and then finishes 12-1, you know, wins a Pac-12, Oregon's going to be in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, or say about Washington and beat Michigan and go 12-1, you know? So it could happen. But most of the issues that the conference is facing are gonna, you know, long haul issues and it's gonna take a while. I mean, officiating is probably gonna get fixed earlier, but something like the schedule, you know, which is a huge debate, is should they keep playing 9 conference games or should they go to 8 conference games? That's something that they gotta figure out, but that also depends on what happens with the college football playoff expansion, because if they're the conference champion is guaranteed to go to the playoff, then it doesn't matter if the champion is 12-1 or 10-3. So whether you're playing 9 conference games or 8 or 10, because there are some people who think they should play 10 conference games, if you're guaranteed to send the team to the playoff, then the schedule matters a little bit less.
Yeah, keeping you guys healthy matters quite a bit more for the potential postseason.
It does, yeah, it does. And the number of at-large spots certainly will be an issue, and how other conferences, you know, coordinate their schedules or reconfigure their schedules based on what's going on with the playoff. That stuff's all got to play out in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 years.
Well, John, we'll all be watching this thing play out together. Appreciate your take. Always enjoy following you on Twitter. And thanks for the great insight. And thanks for taking a few minutes and coming on with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There you go. John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. He also runs the Wilner Hotline. Fantastic Pac-12 insider.